Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. The team is finally reassembled.
Yes!
We have boxing promoter Lou DiBella on the phone. We also have the great Max Holloway on the phone.
I love Max Holloway!
Max and I joke around a lot. Matt and I joke around a lot. Chris interjects unpleasantly.
Jaws are dropped throughout this arena. Nobody is sitting down.
Chasing that finish. Elbows raining down.
Oh! On the button!
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he hurt him again!
He's out!
This is UFC Unfiltered. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Good afternoon.
Ooh,
my voice sounds a little better. It's still rough. So I apologize for not being here on last week. I gave these guys a late notice. I was very nauseous that morning. I left the radio show 90 minutes into it. I thought I was going to throw up. So I'm back now. You can hear my voice. I might have to take antibiotics. My voice is still a little scratchy.
Yeah.
So it sounds sexier to a woman when I whisper in her ear.
Like,
I'll say sexy. Give daddy a hug.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And what does she say? Sir, I'll fucking mace you?
Along those lines.
Yeah. Jimmy, good to see you, man.
You too, pal. We have a good show today. Lou DiBella, who's a boxing promoter and kind of a legend in boxing. I like Lou, though. I met him once at some Evander Holyfield documentary.
Oh.
And he cares about boxers a lot. He used to be critical of UFC, but I don't think he is anymore.
I only know, because I don't follow boxing, you know? Yeah. I only followed it back in the day with, like, Mike Tyson and the good old days with Evander Holyfield's trilogy with Riddick Bowe. That's what I watched, you know, when I was a teenager. But he had that debate with Joe Rogan. It was on ESPN, correct,
Christopher? It was, which is so funny. Now.
And it is funny because now that was, how long ago?
The video that's on YouTube that comes up if you just type in Lou DiBella and Joe Rogan, it says it was posted in 2008. So
it's probably around there.
It's around that time.
Yeah, so 1991.
Like around a decade ago. You know, what?
I think that's too early.
So it's a long time ago. So I want to see if his opinions changed. Because I remember in that debate, he was basically saying it's a street fight in a cage and people elbowing each other. Excuse me,
human
Jimmy. First of all, Jimmy, watch your mouth. What'd you say?
Human cockfight.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jimmy.
Yeah, don't
know what
get your
saying.
Hopes up.
Yeah. Well, now, by the way, this Wednesday, his event is going to be on Fight Pass. So obviously, he's kind of buried the hatchet. I think,
Jimmy said cockfight, and I took my pants off
and lost.
Sorry, everybody. Starting off slow. I'm gonna fucking ease into it.
We also have
We
also have featherweight champ.
Oh my goodness,
Max Holloway. I love. Yeah. We only have him for a few minutes. He's squeezing us in because he is a very good egg.
Who's he? What's he doing?
Chris?
Who are you calling first?
Calling for Lou. We got Lou.
He's calling for the time.
Who's calling now? You gotta let us know this
shit. I thought I did.
And we have Max coming on. Israel Adesanya was scheduled, but he has a flight issue, so we're hoping we can get him this week. Do we have Lou DiBella on the phone?
How are you? It's Lou DiBella.
Hi, Lou. You're talking to Jim Norton and Matt Serra from UFC Unfiltered. How
Hello,
are you,
Lou?
Gentlemen, how are you?
I know you don't know me. I think I met you once. What was the Evander Holyfield? There was some kind of a documentary. It might have been with him.
Bernard Hopkins, Heroes.
Yes, and it was like some dinner afterwards or some lunch after.
Champs. It was called Champs.
Right, right. What was that about? Just the three champions and what they would. What was? I don't remember.
I mean, to be honest with you, I don't really remember the premise of it. But it was like, I guess it was about how every fighter has a story, and it was like they had it was like centered on. It was supposed to be centered on all three of them, but it sort of wound up being more centered on Tyson.
Well, and I know Bernard Hopkins was fighting, so he was not at that event. Well, how old was he when he finally stopped? Was he 51 during his last fight?
I don't even know, man. I promoted him years ago. We had a complicated relationship. Great fighter, Hall of Famer, one of the great middleweights who ever lived. He and I had, like, some bumps in the road. I thought I did real well for him and by him, and we wound up having a big public hassle that caused me to have to sue him. But I think at the moment he and I are cool. I mean, you know what, man? Holding a grudge and having hate towards somebody that really, like, it winds up just hurting you. You know what 100%. I mean? I think he and I have been able to at least create a detente, and I'm pretty cool with having that detente. But as a fighter, man, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's a, you know, one of the greatest middleweights who ever lived. And I think the reason you know that he was able to fight so late and be so good for so long was his defensive brilliance and how little punishment he took right. in his career. I mean, you know, other than Floyd Mayweather, you'd be hard pressed to fight another guy who had that kind of career taking that little punishment.
And we had met, you and I met briefly at that documentary, which we realized was Champs, with about himself and Tyson and Evander Holyfield. And I've always thought, like, you know, I mean, I'm a big Mike Tyson fan, but I always thought that Holyfield and Larry Holmes were two guys that were always kind of overrated, I mean, underrated in the eyes of history. People don't give Larry Holmes his due for some reason. And I wonder.
You're 100% right on both counts. Holyfield's legitimately, in my mind, one of the top 10 heavyweights of all time. And pound for pound, he goes into a really short list with, like, Joe Louis and in my view, and
Sugar Ray Robinson.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about heavyweights. Oh, Joe Louis, Rocky Marciano, Holyfield, guys that were smaller heavyweights even at their time. I mean, Joe Louis was not a huge man. And by the way, he's probably the greatest heavyweight of all time, other than maybe Ali. And the only reason he's underrated is because he's universally not recognized as one or two, which he is. I mean, Joe Louis was as great as anybody that ever boxed in the heavyweight division, and certainly you could make arguments with him and Muhammad. Holyfield was a cruiserweight, and really, you know, when he started his career, a great cruiserweight. But he was fighting in an era of big heavyweights. I mean, Tyson wasn't a huge heavyweight, but the Lennox Lewis's and the Britic Bowes were that first wave of huge heavyweight.
How much is cruiserweight? Because they don't have that in UFC. Cruiserweight is what in boxing?
Well, years ago when Evander was a cruiserweight, it was under 190. Now cruiserweight is under 200.
Okay.
So the weight class has evolved a little bit. But, I mean, he was a smaller dude, but, like, the heart of a lion and, you know, a tremendous, tremendous fighter. Larry Holmes had that unfortunate problem of following Ali.
Yes.
And being a great heavyweight that literally immediately followed Ali. In fact, beat Ali. Beat a shadow of Ali. Yeah. And
cried after. He cried about it after. He really, really didn't want to do that.
Like, Ali was an idol of his. Yeah. Greatest jab maybe in the history of the heavyweight division.
Yeah.
Like, tremendous. Like, his jab was an incredible weapon. Great, great fighter and underappreciated. Look. Following a Muhammad Ali is almost an impossibility. And also, like, Larry had a lot of personality. He would sing and dance. But Ali was this incredibly beautiful man, like this physical specimen, handsome, well-spoken, like, you know, a cutting-edge athlete in every way. I mean, they're really, you know, you can make the argument that there was no athlete in any sport that was like Ali before Ali.
And didn't Larry Holmes say things that would really piss people off, too, about, like, Marciano not carrying his jock and just things that didn't ingratiate people to him?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, to be honest, back then, I mean, if you're a black heavyweight champion talking about a white heavyweight champion, you weren't going to ingratiate yourself to anybody.
Yeah.
Especially when you're declaring your superiority. But to be honest with you, if you look at Larry Holmes' style and how he fought and his reach and all that other stuff and Marciano, who was a little bit more of a one-dimensional heavyweight, even though he was great, but he was, honestly, Larry Holmes probably would have been a nightmare for Rocky Marciano.
And also, just one question, too, the weight cutting when boxing, they seem to have a better handle on it. And what are they doing different than what some of the MMA fighters are doing as far as the percentage you have to be before? Because they don't seem
to... You know what? It's all bullshit. They don't have a better handle on it.
Oh, they really don't? Okay.
Nah, they really don't. I mean, there are some rules about, like, 30-day weigh-ins and 60-day weigh-ins, but people blow those weigh-ins all the time, and there are no real ramifications. You know, the people are still gaining 18, 20 pounds between a weigh-in that's, you know, somewhere usually around 24 to 30 hours before the fights.
Right.
And you have fights all the time now where one guy will walk in the ring. You know, you'll have a welterweight fight, and one guy walks in at 150, you know, it's supposed to be 147-pound limit. And you'll have one guy walking in the ring the night of the fight at 151 when the other guy will walk in almost a light heavyweight. You know, walking at 170. So, I mean, it's a significant problem in boxing, the same way it's a significant problem in MMA.
Except, I'm sorry.
I think you may have guys that are like closer to death to make the weight.
Yeah.
The way you weigh in. Mm-hmm. But our guys are blowing up, and you have like the weight classes are really often a complete, you know, sort of falsehood. You know, if you're saying there's a 154-pound limit, but one guy's walking in the ring the night of the fight at 160 and the other guy's walking in at 185,
wow.
It doesn't work. Something's wrong. And honestly, I think weight loss and weight and size differential are two of the most significant health and safety problems in combat sports in general, but certainly in boxing. Dude, it's just you have two guys of a fairly equal skill level, and one of them's walking in the ring weighing 25, 20 pounds more than the other. That ain't a fair fight. You know, size matters. You know, no matter what your girlfriend tells you. I mean,
my girlfriend always tells me size matters when she boos me.
Yeah, but also
you know, it matters in combat sports, man. Come on, I mean, you know, it in the heavyweight division, whether a guy's 260 or 230 or you know whatever, I you know that's less problematic, and you're always going to have that kind of situation. But when you're looking at guys that are, you know, a guy that's basically able to, probably not in a healthy manner, but condition his body to make a weigh-in and then get into a ring 25 pounds later, 24 hours later, 25 pounds more 24 hours later, and outweigh his opponent by over two weight classes, it's not safe. And frankly, it can – look, I never thought Mikey Garcia had it. I love Mikey Garcia, one of my favorite fighters. I would have told Dana White not to bet Mikey Garcia because as great as Mikey Garcia was, there was a quantum difference in size between Garcia and Spence. And you could argue also probably Spence might have had an edge if they were the same size. But really, when you know people were complaining about Mikey's performance in that fight, he performed to get through the fight. I mean, he performed to survive because the way he performed was the only way that was going to get him till the final bell.
I think a lot of times with these MMA guys, the UFC specifically, there's less weight classes. So, like a guy like myself could afford at 160 a lot more comfortable than I was fighting at 155. Yet I got the title at 170. I was a freaking small 170. So, because there's more weight classes in the boxing, those guys aren't looking like they're about like a Gollum as much. You know what I mean?
Though you do see it.
Yeah, you know, see it, for sure.
And the funny part is everyone's looking for an advantage. So I'm not so sure, like, if I had it my way, I'm not so sure I wouldn't be the way of UFC. Like, I think that I may be of the mind that there might be too many weight classes. Oh, you know?
They got to find like, a happy medium there.
Maybe. But, like, you know, when you start getting into, like, you have 118, 122, 126, the four-pound differentials, I don't know. I mean, in the old days of boxing, there were fewer weight classes.
Yeah.
You know, now you have weight classes out the wazoo, and you have, you know, four different organizations declaring champions, and then you have some of these organizations declaring two and three champions at the same time. So, you know, I actually think there are too many champions in boxing.
Now, Lou, let me ask you your opinion now, if it changed at all from back in the day, ages ago, when you had this debate with Joe Rogan with MMA versus boxing. That's how I remember you when I heard you on the show and when I heard you were coming on the show.
I hope you remember more. That was like a decade ago.
I know. Listen, I hate to bring it up, but as an MMA guy, I'm like, oh, that's the boxing promoter that was on the thing with Joe. So a lot of MMA guys will say that's how they're going to, you know, recognize.
Well, first of all, I think your sports evolved.
Yeah, 100% it did.
You know, and I think it's look, I watch now, and I wouldn't say I'm a fan. I mean, I might be a casual. I probably, because I'm in the combat sports industry, probably watch as much as a casual MMA fan would watch. But you know, there are guys I enjoy watching. I get mixed martial arts a lot more than I got them years ago. Until I started leaving my training sessions beaten to a pulp and having to lie in ice water.
Oh.
I was taking MMA lessons for a while from a guy named Glenn Rubin on Long Island, who was a great sensei.
Well, on Long Island, Lou.
I have to admit I gave up, but it gave me a new appreciation for a lot of what goes on in an octagon or in a cage. You know, I do feel differently. I mean, I'm still not a huge fan, but I do feel differently. There are guys there are certain MMA fighters I enjoy watching more than others. I like the stand up game and the kicking probably a little bit more than I like the grappling. I think my attitude has absolutely evolved.
Lou, your buddy Glenn on Long Island, did he show you any jiu-jitsu at all or no?
I mean, he showed me a lot of stuff. I mean, he crossed all sorts of disciplines. And actually, he had me in great shape for a while. But then I really got beaten to a pulp. I mean, I wound up with, torn ligaments, and I was coming back. I could barely walk. Hey, I'm 58 years old, man. It's like, shit just doesn't, like, you don't recover the same way.
No, I hear you.
I don't want to say I sort of like punked out, but I punked out.
Also, I wanted to ask you too about boxing too. One thing with boxing, like, I used to love it, and then I know for me, I'm much more UFC and MMA now. The boxing.
I'll tell you one thing. You get a better chance of like getting an honest decision in MMA.
Well, it's funny. That's exactly the direction I'm going in.
You have 100% better chance of watching something and. You watched it. You pretty much could tell who won, and then they announced the decision, and the right guy won. And I've said this many times, and I don't want to shit on people that work in my own industry, but I would, for the most part, can take three grammar school kids, situate them around the ring like they're judges, and just say which man or woman won. And I'm going to trust that decision more than I'm going to trust the scores of most boxing judges.
You know, because I don't watch a lot of boxing anymore. The last fight I watched was Alvarez against Triple G. And I thought that, it was, what a horrendous decision. And though I guess it was the one woman who had scored.
Well, I think you're thinking of the first time. I watched the last one.
Oh, did they fight again? I didn't even know they fought. What happened in the second one?
They fought twice. The first fight... there was no question, and I think that's probably the fight you're talking
about.
Yes, it is. Adelaide Bird.
Yep.
See, Adelaide Bird, and I got nothing against the lady. She's probably a nice lady, has a nice family, probably a nice person. Dude, she's been, like, her decisions stink with consistency. Why is she still judging?
Yeah, she's terrible.
And here's the answer. Only in boxing. Oh, there's no, like, checks and balances on... And by the way, they're also, like... I'm a promoter, so I could take advantage of it, but I'm not a fucking dirtbag. I'm just not who I am. I don't want to affect the decision in a fucked-up way. But when, like, there are no standardized hotel accommodations or travel accommodations, and a promoter can put a particular judge in a Motel 6 or put the same judge in the Ritz-Carlton... that doesn't happen with referees or officials in other sports. And then you have judges and officials going to conventions for the ratings organizations that give out the belts. So the officials sort of know who's the big money attraction, who's the guy that everybody wants to win. And there's Canelo gets the benefit of every decision. The first Canelo Triple G fight was an atrocity of judging. I mean, anybody in their right mind who watched that first fight
disgusting.
And thought that Canelo won the fight doesn't know shit.
Right.
Now, the second fight, it's a little bit different. And in boxing, we're so used to robberies, and we're so used to messed up scoring that people scream robbery constantly. There's a difference between a close fight that reasonable people can disagree on
right.
and a robbery. The first Canelo Triple G fight was a robbery. Triple G won that fight and... Yep. And the decision wasn't righteous. The second fight, I thought Triple G like squeaked it out. I had him ahead by a point or two, but it was so close that in reasonableness, I wouldn't call the fact that Canelo got the decision in the second fight a robbery. I would just say it was a close fight, and I didn't see it the same way.
Was she on that? Did she judge the second fight too?
I don't remember, man. I don't pay attention. But, like, I want to be honest with you. It's really messed up because you can't – you almost cannot watch a boxing card any longer without seeing some example of horrendous judging on that card. I mean, it's not an infrequency. It's there's way too much regularity of bad scoring. And I want to tell you something. Like, more so than the emergence – you know, people for a while wanted to say, oh, MMA is going to hurt boxing. That's one of the things I think that I was right about and Joe was wrong about when we had that debate a long time ago. Boxing's done it to itself. MMA's not done anything to boxing. Boxing's done it to itself.
Lou, one thing – hold on a second. Pardon. I agree and I disagree because I think that the one thing that MMA does so well is they give you fights that you want to see – so they're taking the proactive stance and making a fight happen when the fans want it. But boxing has also gone the opposite and not done it.
I'm not using a legal term, right? Yeah. What I'm about to say is not in the legal sense, even though I went to law school. It's in the common kind of sense. The UFC has a corner on the market to a large, you know, it's almost a monopoly. It's not a legal monopoly, but you got the most powerful by far entity in mixed martial arts. I mean, it's not killing the UFC when a Bellator or a Combate athlete, you know, it can't compete with a UFC athlete because the majority of the biggest names and the top guys are fighting UFC. So, and also when you're in a position of control, you can pretty much cause the guy to have to fight another guy.
Sure.
Boxing's got no ultimate authority. It's got no one organization. It has no most powerful entity. It's the wild fucking Wild West. And it always has been. And that's one of the things that's worked to the detriment of the sport. There's nobody looking out for the betterment of the industry as a whole, and there's nobody really looking out for the fans.
And also, now what are you promoting to? Because you have you're on Fight Pass, correct?
Yeah, I'm doing I've been doing a since I became a boxing promoter and I left HBO where I was for the entire 1990s, pretty much I was head of programming for HBO Boxing, and I was buying the boxing for HBO. Unfortunately, HBO's now gone out of the boxing business. But since I've been on my own, I've been doing a boxing series in the New York area, primarily called Broadway Boxing. It's the longest running grassroots boxing show in the country, and I think it's one of the best. And we're going to, I'll be this Wednesday night, April 10th, will be the first one that's going to be streamed onto UFC Fight Pass. And I'm pretty excited that UFC Fight Pass is going to be doing some more boxing. And I'm excited that they're going to be picking up the series, at least for a few shows, to check it out.
Well, Dana's a big boxing fan. I think Dana used to box years ago. And he may have started in Boston as a boxing promoter.
No, Dana's a legit boxing fan. He and I have had dialogue for years and talked about the sport and stuff. And his son, I think, is boxing.
Oh yeah, is he?
And yeah, I think so. I think his son's doing some boxing as an amateur now. And then Dana has used boxing as a workout. And he's a legit fan. Hey, look, to some degree, I think Rogan's a fan too. And I'd love to go on Rogan's podcast and hang out with him for an hour or two. It'd probably be amusing.
Oh, Rogan's a legit boxing fan. I know. I know him very well for a long time. And I've been on, we did something. I think we were watched the Triple G Alvarez fight together on one of his podcasts. So, yeah, no, he's a real boxer.
Yeah, but when you go back to that first Triple G, the first fight with Triple G and Canelo, when you sit there and you watch an athletic event and you know what you saw and you enjoyed it and you're waiting for the decision that comports with what your eyeballs registered. And then they announce something that is just not in the realm of like possibility for any reasonable person. That you hear scores that are not at all reasonable.
Yeah.
Like that sort of takes away the joy of that athletic competition. You know what I mean?
It made me not like boxing. That like and knowing that the corruption that has existed, again, maybe not as much as it used to, but that outside stuff made me not enjoy boxing anymore. And I guess when UFC was there, I had something now I could watch, and I couldn't enjoy boxing for the same as I used to.
Well, I get that. I mean, I do. And I think that we have to, there's this, the problems that I would have identified. Here's the problem with boxing. The problems I would have identified 25 years ago are the problems that would have identified 15 years ago or the problems that would have identified 5 years ago, and they're still the fucking problems. and we haven't addressed them and we haven't fixed them. And there are still too many terrible decisions. There's still too many conflicts of interest. There's what appears to be corruption, and if it's not corruption, it's utter incompetence. And there's no excuse for incompetent people to be appointed time and time again to the same positions. So we got to do better. I think it's a great product, though. I think it's a great sport.
Yeah.
I mean, I love boxing. I just don't like the politics of it. And as a fan, what I find objectionable as a fan is the kind of stuff that doesn't surprise me, turns off a lot of people. Yeah. You know, I mean, I shrug my shoulders because I'm so used to it, man. I've been a little bit hardened by 30 years, nearly 30 years, it'll be 30 years in December in the boxing business. I mean, I'm friggin' jaded. But, other people have alternatives now. And I think we got the best product. But you know what? We sully our product and we dirty it and we make it a little bit less attractive by not policing ourselves well.
Right. Well, I'm happy you guys are going to be on the UFC Fight Pass live streaming. I like that everybody's getting along now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Who would have thought it from back in the day?
You like combat sports. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
MMA is mixed martial arts. Stand-up boxing, you know, punching, striking is part of the skill set for a good MMA fighter. I know that MMA fans can appreciate a terrific boxer. I think that even boxing fans, we are people that are conditioned to enjoy combat sport. And when I gave MMA a chance and I started, you know, there are people I could like pass on because I just don't like their style of fighting. But that's the same is true in boxing. I don't tend to like guys that are all defense and run around the ring avoiding punches without being aggressive.
Sure, Floyd.
In MMA, I don't enjoy somebody that goes right to the ground.
Well,
not my thing.
Now, Lou, you know? I know that's not your thing. I'm not, listen, at 58, I'm not trying to make it your thing. But let me throw this out there, Lou. I live in Long Island, New York. I got a couple of jiu-jitsu academies. I'm no Joe Schmo. I don't want to brag about who the fuck I am, but I am a Hall of Famer, former champion. You could Google me after this, Lou. But listen.
Yes, Jim Norton.
Not Jim Norton. If you want to ever do a lesson with me, I guarantee you, you will be strangling me. I'll teach you. And you'll learn the gentle art of jiu-jitsu. You might fall in love with it, Lou.
No, I want to tell you something. I really was, when I was training it, I was sort of I was enjoying it. And look, I'm not the kind of guy that can go to a gym and play with machines. Like, I need to do something that engages me. Like, I was in much better shape when I was a younger guy and I was playing softball and basketball with the guys, even in my 30s. But, like, when it comes down to going to a gym and just having the discipline to do, like, circuits and stuff like that, I find it boring as hell. When I started training with Glenn, I got myself in some really good shape pretty quickly because he demanded it, but also, you know, I enjoyed it. It was like learning stuff and learning a new discipline is sort of fun. So I might take you up on that, bro.
Anytime.
One more question before we let you go.
And just tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern time, UFC Fight Pass, Broadway Boxing. Check it out.
Yes,
even if you're an MMA fan, check out a little boxing.
Yeah, yeah. DiBella Entertainment Broadway. Make sure you support that. One more question, and you may or may not know this. When MMA was fighting to be legalized, and it really fought hard, tooth and nail, was boxing in any kind of a way fighting the legalization of MMA?
You know what, man? No. And I'll tell you something. Not that people wouldn't have wanted to, but there is so little, like, boxing doesn't do anything as an industry.
Okay.
Like, there is no, like, unified front, whether it's fighting something or supporting something or trying to change something. So, like, that's really, I'm giving you the truth. Like, do I think people wanted to see MMA legalized? There were a lot of people, I'm sure, didn't.
Yes.
But were people out there actively fighting it? No, because boxing doesn't have his shit together enough to go out there and actively fight anything as one voice.
All right. Well, Lou, you're an honest...
That's actually the honest answer.
You're an honest guy, man, and I really, really enjoy talking to you. So thanks for calling in, and good luck with this. I hope this works out.
No, thank you, man. So do I. And look, I actually think it's a cool thing that Fight Pass is starting to... I don't want to say embrace boxing because obviously it's primarily an MMA streaming service.
Sure.
But like incorporate boxing into the programming that it's putting out there because, you know, boxing is one of the disciplines, as is, you know, jiu-jitsu, as are many other disciplines that are incorporated into UFC, into MMA. And we saw, like, the crossover potential of when Conor McGregor jumped over to fight Mayweather, and a gazillion people bought that.
Sure.
And by the way, McGregor didn't disgrace himself.
No, I was going to ask you about that before. He did better than a lot of people thought he would do.
Yeah, I mean, he trained seriously. He trained well. I don't think Floyd ever really thought that Conor had a viable chance. But I think that Floyd's also an entertainer.
Yep.
I don't think he tanked the event in the sense of letting Conor look really, really good. I just think he turned on the spigot and opened that faucet somewhere in the middle of the fight, or you know, it wasn't surprising it ended the way it did.
Right.
But clearly Conor had a game plan and he executed it pretty well. And you know, Conor's not a bad stand up fighter.
No.
And you have a lot of other guys. I mean, look, I watch UFC and I see men and women. Like, let me tell you something. Amanda Nunes could be a hell of a female boxer.
Sure.
if someone, a real serious boxing trainer, got with her on the discipline. I mean, there are other, you know, like, you know, most people pay more attention to how much weed the Diaz brothers smoke than the fact that they were pretty good stand up fighters. And Nick particularly had a pretty good stand-up game, and I think Nick could have been a boxer. And I think that there are a lot of guys and women in mixed martial arts who have enough striking ability and a sense of strategy for their stand-up game that with the appropriate training could compete. I'm not saying be world champions, but compete
sure.
on a high level in boxing.
All right, Lou, we appreciate that. I'll hopefully talk to you again, and really great having you on.
Thanks, Lou.
Good talking to you guys.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Yeah,
we got. I got to talk to him all day. We got Max Holloway, I guess, very, very shortly, and only for a short period of time.
Well, yeah, listen.
Why are you not turning the mic?
Sorry,
on?
Max is kind of swaps with me. He's great, though.
Max, and he likes us. Me in particular. That's. Well, I'm just making that up.
He was just the Funk Master was just over there training with him.
Was he?
Yeah. I want to ask him about that. When he fought Dustin Poirier the first time, that was his very first time in the UFC.
Yes, it was.
He was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, now he's a man and a champion, Jimmy.
Yeah,
he's a champion.
He's really
a fucking badass.
I don't know why Chris won't put him on the phone.
I don't know.
Chris is probably.
Up,
oh, we
yes.
got him now. Do we have Max Holloway on the phone right now?
We speaking.
Hey, yes. buddy, it's Jim and Matt. How you doing?
What's up, champ?
Good, boss. How you doing?
Good. We are extremely psyched for this fight. I wanted to ask you too because we rewatched your first. Fight with Dustin, and again, that was your first UFC fight, and you were so much younger yeah. then. What is your mentality going into this first rematch with a guy who's actually beaten you?
You know, first things first, Jeremy, you need to put it away. I know you're trying to bring it out. You need to put that thing away, bro.
I can't help it.
I know Matt is not saying anything. He might be enjoying it, but I'm going to speak up for him and say, put that thing away.
Not only is he enjoying it, Matt's the one who took it out.
Hey. First of all, you can't prove that. Hey, Max, I heard you were just hanging out with Aljo. Is that true? The Funk Master?
Oh, yeah.
The Funk Master invaded Hawaii?
Yeah, he's a man. I love Aljo. We're talking about you. Yeah, he's a dope.
Listen, man, you treat him so good over there, man. He has a great time. I'm afraid he's not going to come back, though, when he goes over there.
No, he's going to go back. We love him there. That's all right. I love training with him. Great guy. He loves our food. He loves our culture. He embraces us, and we got to embrace him.
Good people. You know, water seeks its own level. That's why you guys are hanging out. You guys are both good people.
Yeah. Thank you, boss.
So how are you going into this this rematch? Because you haven't lost in so long. Does it change anything because of your first fight, the mentality you're going into this with?
Not really, man. It's just another fight. You know, like I said, you know, all these guys are cupcakes. 7 years ago, I got to taste this cupcake. It didn't taste too good. You know, hopefully this time around, it tastes much better.
You know, it's funny. Now, when I first fought in the UFC, I had 8 fights. I just smoked the guys. They kind of didn't know the jiu-jitsu so good. Then I fought guys with experience like Shoney Carter, who had like so many fights. I had such tunnel vision. I remember it like yesterday, and I got over it over time. Experience takes that away. But just the lights in your face, you're walking out, the nervousness of the promotion of the big show of the UFC, really, it fucked with me. I'm going to be honest with you, Max. Mm-hmm. Your first fight in the UFC was Dustin. How was your, and you only had four fights. How was the experience compared to that? I'm talking about walking out, not even so much the fight, just the experience of walking out. Did you have the tunnel vision?
Yeah, the experience was crazy. You know, it was crazy. You know, well, the UFC brings us down in before the fight for 2 hours. They try to get us there like 2.5 hours early to the fight. We got the screen in the back. We're watching the fight. And it's empty. You know, all the fights that was going on was empty. And I remember Stephen Wonderboy's fight. That's the one that he did. Me and him, I think we made our debut the same day. And he did that kick over the shoulder. And he knocked someone out. And it was, like, empty when he was out there. And I was like, oh, okay, not too bad, you know. And then we started getting ready, started warming up. And then when we went to a walkout, the thing was full to the gills. I was like, oh my gosh! I went from 0 to 200. You know, it was the Nick Card versus Condit, and it was crazy. You know, watching it back there and being like, oh, it's not too bad. You know, not too much people here. And then me and Dustin was headlining the FX card, and then we walk out and it's like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? You know, and then I get to the octagon. I just remember Bruce announcing me and. I was looking at him. I was like feeling weak in the knees. I was like, "Do not faint on national TV. This is going to be terrible, Max. Don't do that." And you know, the UFC jitters. I don't know. Some people say they don't got them, but it was definitely real for me.
And now, you what is the weight cut like for you now? Because you have to cut 10 less pounds. So are you just walking around 10 pounds heavier than you normally would, or are you just like, I can't wait for this weight cut? Is not going to be as bad.
Yeah, you know, I just can't wait. You know, especially in this camp. We had some time to put on a little muscle. You know, I'm not big, you know, like I'm a big boy for 45, like how everybody say, but it's just another weight cut. It's another fight. It's another thing, you know. I feel great. I feel good. And I just can't wait to go and do the damn thing on Saturday night.
And I know you haven't fought it this way yet, so it's easy to say, well, do you want to stay there or do you want to go back down and defend? I guess it depends on how this goes, right?
Yeah. We see how it happens. You know, at the end of the day, you know, a king got to defend his throne. You know, I got a throne to defend down there. Yeah, and I was talking about it. You know, if UFC wanted to take that path with me, they would have sent over a contract with a 45er's name on it, and that's what we would have took. You know, but no, they sent over this contract, and that's what we did. You know, there's guys like Renato, that Alex guy. And a couple other people, you know, but right now they don't got that. I don't think so. Any of them got any? They only got one win in the top 10, you know, or top 5 guys, you know. So I think so. UFC just wants them to bake a little, you know, let them fruition, and we see what happens.
You know, I'm looking at, you know, Dustin being currently on this 5-fight unbeaten streak with Jim Miller, Eddie Alvarez, Anthony Pettis, Justin Gaethje. And Eddie Alvarez again. And I'm going to bring that up to you, but then I'm like, fuck, man. Dude, you're on a 13-fight win streak. You forgot how to lose, my man. I mean, is that why you're so confident? Is that just I mean, go ahead.
I've been confident my whole life. You know, I've been telling everybody I'm a champion. You know, I've been carrying myself as a champion. I just needed this. You know, 15 pounds of gold to prove it to the world, you know. But I knew, my team knew, we all knew. We just was opportunities, you know. We just was waiting for a shot, and here it is, you know. He's a killer. I'm a killer. I can't wait to go in there and have fun with him. You know, he wants some big names, and I just can't wait. You know, I can't wait. There's a confidence is key in this. You know, mental game is key in this game. You know, once you're out of it, once you're mentally not there, then you check out, you know, and I'm always mentally in the fight. I'm always mentally in training, and I just can't wait to do it.
When something like that, oh, sorry, Mac, when something like that happens, like after that first loss, mounted armbar, do you say to yourself, no matter what happens, that's never going to happen to me again?
Yeah, you know, for sure. You know, I after that fight, I took maybe a day or so off. I went back into the gym. And I put myself in like 1,000 triangles, just to get out. You know, like a lot of people, they don't understand. You know, you need to put yourself in these situations when you're training.
Yes.
So when you go out there, when you go out to game time, you've been there. You've been doing this. You know, I'm not gonna go and practice a roundhouse kick 1,000 times and then go out there and try to throw a spinning back kick that I didn't practice. That it doesn't happen like that. You know, you gotta practice what you preach. And you gotta go in there and practice stuff, even the bad stuff, even the bad situations. You know, everybody always like, oh yeah.
Well, that's
everybody likes being the hammer in this sport, but when it's time to be the nail, you see the difference of who's good and then who's great.
Well, yeah, that's how I know you changed as a fighter. Now, listen, if you were to fight Brian Ortega, and I had to look at a fight. Let's say your very first fight in the UFC versus Dustin, and I'd be worried for you. But then if I seen that your fight, either fight versus Jose Aldo, like I did, it's a different. You're a different guy. I'm not looking at this like a rematch. I'm looking at this like the first time you're ever fighting Dustin, because you are a different fighter, man. All around, and you've grown. I don't know if you've been eating your fucking Wheaties in Hawaii, but you've grown, dude. I don't know what's in those coconuts, but dude, you're a bigger. You like developed. Like, I'm looking at the fight. You look skilled and you were game, but you kind of look like a kid, Max.
He's only 20.
Well, you're a fucking man now, Max. You're a fucking champion, Max. You're a fucking world champion. Yes.
In Hawaii, we be eating kalo. That thing is great.
What is that?
It's kind of like potatoes. It's taro.
Is it gluten in it?
Oh. Some of them can be gluten free. Who knows? You know what's going on, but that's what they give us our powers. You know, and at the end of the day, it is. You know, he knows it. Dustin knows it. I know it. He's a different fighter from them. I'm a different fighter from them. And I just can't wait. I can't wait. You know, it's fights like these that's intrigued me. You know, my relationship with the UFC is simple. You know, we always tell them the same thing. You know, find the hardest guy that you guys think is in. And then in the promotion, put his name, put my name, and I'll sign it.
No,
I'll send it over to me in our contract. I'll sign it, and let's see what happens.
Jimmy, well, we love you, man. Jimmy, he's a throwback, Jimmy.
Max,
he's a fucking throwback, Jimmy.
Yeah, Max and Frankie Edgar are very similar in the way they seem to look at things. We love you, man. We always love watching you fight. I cannot wait for this main event against Poirier. This is Poirier Holloway 2. This is for the interim lightweight title, man. And you're moving up in weight. And good luck here at 236 this Saturday, April 13th. You guys got to get this pay-per-view.
Yeah, champ. Good luck, man.
Thank you, guys. You guys have a good one. Put it away, Jimmy.
I'm keeping it out until you come back.
You guys have a good one.
All right, see you later, Max.
Later, champ. Max got a great, great personality.
Yeah, he does.
He's a different guy, Jimmy.
Yep.
Jimmy, I know what the fuck I'm looking at.
Yeah,
Jimmy.
Cool guy. Oh, I think that's me.
I'm not looking in a mirror, Jimmy. If I was, what would I be looking at?
Short guy.
So you would say a Hall of Famer. Jimmy, you're mean sometimes. I can't stay mad at you, my little bird. I miss you so much when I don't see you.
Don't we have a live read, Chris?
Oh, my
kids, you don't want me to pay the
my
bills?
My kids did no, so well. My kids won. They did
great. Oh, what were they doing?
Well, my middle one got she got title. Like she got the most like the it's like the most prestigious thing in the whole dance competition. And my other one killed. Like her trio got like elite platinum and shit like that.
Oh, it's not. You were proud.
Beyond proud.
Did you stand up and clap?
No. I clap, but I don't want to stand up. I don't want to block anybody's view.
Did you get a little emotional?
I get a little emotional, you know? I can cry in the car. Let's go, man. Let's do a... Jim.
Jim.
I don't like calling you Jim.
What? It's my name.
No.
You're so used to calling me Daddy.
Yep. Jimmy, I don't like that. I miss you, Jimmy, when I don't see you. I miss you so much that I can't even get mad at you when you're mean to me. Jimmy, can I tell you what this package I got the other day?
I got a very similar one.
Untuck it, Jimmy.
That's right.
Oh, it's so comfortable. And my wife likes the way the shirts fit me. And, you know, I think these shirts could get, these untucked clothes can get me lucky.
Well, these were specifically designed
yes.
to be worn untucked. That's why traditional button-ups look like long and baggy, because they were never meant to be worn that way.
Jimmy, do I look like a guy that likes to tuck things in?
Not at all.
You know? Jimmy,
you don't.
Too quick with that one.
Well, that's what I said. That looks like a guy that likes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
I'm talking about clothing. Even when I sleep, I take the my side of the bed out. I untuck it.
Yeah,
but that has nothing to do with this awesome clothing. Can we talk about Untuck It?
Yes.
Please do.
It's the brand you've been looking for. It really is the original Untuck shirt. It's a modern solution to an old problem. No tucking or tailoring required. No matter what your size or shape, their shirts are a perfect untucked length. You ever been frustrated with your shirt buying in the past? We all have.
I have. Dude, I'm sure a stocky guy.
Yeah, you are.
What?
Yeah, you are.
But I am.
Well built.
Well, I mean, I've been off gluten, but go ahead.
It's all right. You look good.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Untuck It just looks better untucked. And here's what it is. I don't like a shirt that's tucked in because when it's tucked in, my little side blubber shows. And I hate it. And it always looks wrinkled when it's not supposed. I like a nice, straight, untucked shirt.
Yeah.
And these are the proper untucked length to keep your shirt untucked. Matt right now is showing his stomach. Matt really is a flat stomach. It annoys me. Matt's lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, Jimmy, I'm powerful. I love my Untuck It shirts, Jimmy. I don't like to tuck it in, Jimmy.
No, I don't.
And now with Untuck It, I don't have to.
I would imagine you both probably don't like going to a store to look for stuff.
No, I'd rather order online.
Yeah. That's what I do.
I'm lazy.
You know?
Plus, people swamp me when I'm in a store.
What? Do they really?
Starstruck.
Yeah, Jimmy?
No. I can't even get a sales clerk over to me. I get no respect at all.
You're okay.
Try it on in person. One of Untuck It does have 50 stores, or you can just go to Untuck It, UNTUCKIT, untuckit.com. Get started. They even offer free shipping and returns on all orders in the U.S. Save 20% on your first order. Help us out. Use our code UFC at checkout, untuckit.com, and the promo code is UFC. They are meant to be untucked.
Yes.
That's why they look good and they feel really good. When you don't tuck them in. Tucked in shirts sucked.
Jimmy, let me tell you, I'm not a big fan of the tucked in shirts.
No.
What up, everybody? This is CJ McCollum from the Portland Trailblazers. And here's a little taste of what we talked about on this week's Pull Up Podcast. Very special mini post-Game 7 episode of Pull Up. An epic Game 7 in Denver.
37 points, back-to-back, essentially closeout buckets. Why were you so successful last night?
I think it just really came down to my demeanor and mindset. Empty the clip, leave nothing out there. I wanted to say I did everything in my power, and I left all my bullets out there on the court and didn't bring anything home.
How do you shift to a completely new animal, an absolute monster in the Warriors?
In the playoffs, it just comes down to X's and O's and execution more so than anything else. The Warriors aren't going to run a lot of plays. They're going to run a lot of misdirection out of timeouts and late clock situations. But most of it's going to be mid-pick and roll. It's going to be pin downs and flares and things of that nature for Clay and Steph. And a lot of transition. So you have to guard the three-point line, get back in transition, and make it as difficult as possible on them. Don't forget to
pull up.
Subscribe and listen every week on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
After a stressful game, it's only natural to need some well-deserved rest. Upgrade your current sleep situation because Mattress Firm is offering the best bed deal of the year. Get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price for savings of up to $700. Plus, take home a free adjustable base up to a $699 value. That's $699 for free. You'll only find these deals during Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale. So don't miss your chance to start sleeping like a pro. Shop now at mattressfirm.com/sale. There's nothing worse than being uncomfortable in bed. It's horrible. You're not rested the next day. You suck at work. Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale is offering the best bed deal of the year. Save up to $700 when you get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price. Plus, take home a free adjustable base that's up to a $699 value free. Visit mattressfirm.com/sale for more details.
Do we have to do fight picks? No, what's today?
No, we could do the picks on Wednesday. I mean, there's some news
Thursday.
That you guys wanted to get into. Thursday.
Thursday!
Now, Matt, I thought of you.
Thank you, Jimmy. What were you doing? Were you sitting on the throne?
No.
Okay.
No. I was
sorry
smiling.
Sorry to ask that, Jimmy. I don't know why I asked that.
This Conor and Khabib back and forth, which Dana eventually stepped in.
Oh, we didn't talk about that.
No, just happened. I mean, where it got, like, again, I like that. I don't mind Conor talking shit and bashing people because it's part of what he does. But when he posted a picture of Khabib's wife at the, I guess that was their wedding ceremony or whatever.
Yeah. I commented last time. I'll do it again.
What was it? Was
people
it,
already think I hate him, but
I don't hate Conor at all. People but it's like, man, you know, talk about the guy's wife. It's like, come on, dude. What the fuck?
Dude, that's garbage. No, you don't think that's garbage?
Yeah, you don't.
It's fucking garbage. Dirtbag shit. Yeah. That, I mean, listen, I talked about it already, but you brought it up.
Oh, did this happen?
You talked about some of the stuff that went back and forth, but then after we recorded, Dana came out with a statement being like,
oh, go ahead.
I'm aware of the recent social media exchange between Khabib and Conor. The ongoing situation has escalated to a level that is not acceptable. As such, we are taking the necessary steps to reach out to both athlete camps, and the situation is being addressed by all parties internally.
No, you don't want this becoming some Biggie Smalls fucking Tupac shit. Because this is, I mean, first of all, it's different than that. This is the battle rappers. Because you can't, there's certain things that should morally be off limits. Religion? And somebody's spouse?
Yeah.
Fucking come on, man.
Somebody's spouse is
what's next? Somebody's kids? I mean, you're showing. Listen, I'm gonna give a message to Conor. I'm gonna tell him a great man, and I said this before.
He's gonna quote me again.
I'm quoting Ben Parker because he was a great man. I don't know what happened to Peter's parents. Who knows? I don't know. They weren't there. Something happened.
That's right.
But you know, great Aunt May and Ben Parker, they took him in.
Yeah.
And Ben Parker has this line, and I tell this to my people that train underneath me, Jimmy. I say that with great power, Jimmy. Go ahead. Do you want to finish it?
Comes a great ability to pick on people.
Oh yeah,
Jimmy.
For sure.
What, Jimmy? Am I wrong?
No, you could not be more wrong.
Sorry.
You could not be more wrong. No. With great power, Jimmy.
Yep. See, that's just, that's what I'm going to finish the quote.
No, I'm going to finish it.
Oh, the beginning of it is, with Cialis comes great power.
Yeah, now you're just making fun of a great quote, and I'm trying to help Conor out.
All right, let's
you know, Conor. I don't want him going the Tony Montana route. Like, he's getting a little too nutty now.
Yeah.
You know? With great power, you know, comes, he didn't say, you know, I'm just me just talking to you. Yeah, I'm putting all those twists on it. Comes great.
Responsibility, yeah.
Don't, Jimmy. I gotta build it up a little bit.
Sorry.
Comes great responsibility. So you're laughing now. You know who else was laughing? Not really laughing, smirking.
Probably the guy. What's the name? The mean gobbler.
Stop it. Stop it, Jimmy.
Oh, the green goblin.
No, Jimmy, listen. No, you know who else was laughing when Ben Parker said that? Who? Jimmy, I'll tell you
the
who.
Bullies?
No, Peter Parker was. Yeah, right, Uncle. Okay, whatever. I'm out of this car. See you later.
Sure.
I'm gonna go win a wrestling match so I get some money for this for Mary Jane. I wanna impress her.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna do this wrestling match. Then he, you know, fast forward. Let me just do a little fast forward. He lets the guy get away. He abused his power. He wasn't really responsible as Spider-Man. As with the ability of a human spider, the power, the strength of how much men, he could have stopped that the crook from running out of the building after robbing the promoter of the wrestling match he was doing to impress Mary Jane, but he didn't, Jimmy. He didn't.
Of course not.
But this is the message for Conor, though. We're gonna shorten it up for Conor. This is not. He doesn't have to listen to all this. He's a busy guy. He's a busy guy. Conor probably, somebody that knows Conor probably get this to him, and it's not an attack. But it's the simple quote. I have to do the quote again because I kind of sidetracked. With great power
comes
Jimmy,
some responsibility.
Comes great. I'm gonna pretend that you didn't say that. Great responsibility. Okay, that's all I want to say. And you know, learn from that, man. You can help people. You can bring people together, man.
And Habib's a nice guy.
And by the way, I love
really
that dude.
Nice man.
He is. But here's the thing, though.
What?
Rightfully so, you're criticizing Conor for what he did. I agree.
Talk about the guy's wife. It's like, come on, dude.
But Khabib responded. Called Conor a thing related to the
called him a rapist. Yeah. Okay. Responded very harshly. Fucking
right. So it's like
PC producer.
No. But I didn't want to like.
It's what he said.
That is what he said.
Oh, you make it worse when you don't say the word.
Well, because they're trying not to.
It's all
I know
over
they're
the
trying
place.
To, but you know
but
what,
anyway,
man?
But I'm saying, but it's not like Khabib completely didn't say anything in the back.
No, but he was responding.
Man, listen, you draw swords and you cross that line.
Oh no, for sure.
You gotta. It shows the kind of. It's bad character, and that brings bad karma.
Yeah.
Do the right thing, Conor. Just do the right
Conor
thing.
Conor did respond after that. And what he actually says, I mean, smart.
Yeah, Conor tweeted after Dana had said that. He said, I want to move forward with my fans of all faiths and all backgrounds. Okay. All faiths challenge us to be our best selves. It is one world and one for all. Now see you in the octagon, which everybody's like, oh, okay, I guess Conor's not.
Well, the thing is this, like, you know, he's probably going after, like, hey, I'm going to say something shitty to Khabib, and then all of a sudden he's like, oh, I'm attacking all these people, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Listen, man, again, and to be the guy that, you know, He's 30?
Yeah, I think he just turned 30.
All right, man. He's got so much power. Just it's got to be. It's got to be crazy for the guy.
We all say dumb shit. I go back and forth.
Every, you know what I mean? And now he's got all this power. You know what I mean? And like, just do the right thing, man. It's easy. You can use that to help people. You're still going to, anytime you fight, people are going to watch regardless. You don't got to attack. You don't got to take it there because it's taken at a place that could just get really, really ugly. So can't we all, get along and stuff?
Yeah.
I just thought of that saying.
It's pretty good.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, Connor, in that Miami Beach situation where he took the guy's phone and all that stuff, some of the charges have now been reduced to lesser.
Downgraded, sure.
So he's still facing time if it goes poorly for him. But it's a significantly less amount of time now, essentially.
That's why I like very... The moment you said about going into a place, Jimmy, and they all run to you and says that, I don't fucking want that. I like just about the fame I got now. Mm-hmm. I go to a UFC event, so I'm like, oh, there's a little ball guy that's friends with Dana and Jimmy. And I go, oh, hi, you listen to UFC Unfiltered? Yeah, okay. Take a picture. I was out to eat yesterday at Kabul, this place, Afghan food. This is delicious, dude. Nice. Oh, my goodness.
Kabul's a city.
Oh, yeah. Kabul. Delicious. Delicious! Jimmy, delicious. We went, and it's, brown rice bog, which is steak, Jimmy. I'm showing off now. So I get a strip of bog and a strip of boneless lamb. Anyway, we all went there to eat. Us, the kids, Uncle Edwin. He was there. He's a good dance uncle. He goes to all the stuff.
Does he?
Yeah. But anyway, so we all go there. Why am I bringing this up? It was so delicious.
Oh, you're saying that about being recognized.
Oh, yeah. So a guy wanted a picture. No, I don't listen.
Of your food?
Well, I was done eating. No, a picture of my food?
Why would he take a picture of your food?
Like he wanted a picture of me. He wanted a picture of me because he was a fan.
A fan of yours, okay.
Well, listen, we were in Strong Island.
You weren't eating at the mall.
My point is this.
Do you get recognized the most, obviously you're in Long Island, but like when you're strolling around Long Island, you get recognized.
I'm world renowned.
Yeah, in Long Island a bunch, but yeah. I mean, not always, but yeah, quite a bit. Just here in Manhattan, and I was in the GNC, Penn Station, I ran into a city cop, he was going to work and
nice
guy. Like, listen, I don't know. I'm approachable. I'm a nice dude.
Yes, you are.
But it's not overbearing. People, I never met an asshole to me. Oh, I met Chris the teacher.
He's a good guy.
Nice guy.
He's a maniac, but he's a really good dude.
No, he lives right next to me. So
he's a maniac. He's a big Chip fan.
You've been to my house, right?
Has he?
Yeah, you've been to my house.
Yes, I have.
I don't know the guy enough to be to my house.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like a few blocks away.
Okay, I like Chris.
Nice guy. I met him over at the 7-Eleven. Okay, I could have told you that off air.
Yeah, no, it was really unnecessary, but I'm glad you did. This is what we do. Matt and I are friends, and we talk friends stuff.
We are friends.
By the way.
What, Jimmy?
Hopefully we'll get Israel on the phone in a couple of days. Him and Gastelum for the interim middleweight. Max Dustin for the interim lightweight. And then there's also Eric Anders, Khalil Rountree.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a fucking
you
fun
missed.
Fight.
Let me tell you
I know,
you
I missed
cool.
Khalil on the phone.
Wait a second.
It was great. That was a great interview. It was fun.
Who?
Khalil Rountree.
Khalil don't want. Hold on.
Wait a minute.
I got choked. Khalil don't like it. Khalil Rountree. Jimmy, Khalil don't.
What's he singing?
You love it.
It's just Khalil's song.
You love it.
I love Khalil.
Want me to sing it again?
No, but do me a favor.
What, Jimmy?
Save it till the next episode. It gives me a reason to come back.
Oh, great.
You don't like The Clash?
No, by the way, the fan I met this weekend.
Why did you meet?
I met a fan. We did a picture.
Okay,
and
Jimmy.
40 times asked me, you got to start singing with Matt.
No, he didn't, really.
Yes, he did.
They love it. They love it, Jimmy.
He.
What are we?
He.
I get,
he was
I get
one
messages.
Maniac.
People are going to hit right in, and they love it, Jimmy. Jimmy, it'd be so much fun. You want to do it?
What Not this episode. My voice. I'm lucky I can talk.
He's got to get some tea. He's got to get
Edson Barboza song?
When I can talk next week.
How about I Just Come Over to Man song? It's fun.
Could you do a Queen? I was thinking of you.
It's the Queen song.
Could you
what?
Put a Kimura on somebody if you were both standing?
Yes. I told that the other day.
How about if they were bigger?
Are you sure?
Okay. How about if they're strong?
Jimmy.
You could do that?
Just Kimura'd a man.
I wonder how you put a Kimura on a guy standing. I'm not too lazy to train.
Put his arm behind his back. What?
I'm too lazy to train, but I want to do a quick Kimura in case the guy looks at me wrong.
That's a good idea.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Quick Kimura?
Quick Kimura.
You got to put the work in. You got to put that work in. Come on.
I am. I'm talking to my good friend.
Well, I need... No.
Oh.
I meant jiu-jitsu wise.
Oh.
It's really a lot of fun.
How long did jiu-jitsu before I could throw a kimura on a taller man?
Let's talk about these fights, Jimmy. Mission accomplished.
Such an
Jimmy.
Annoying question.
I want a time frame.
Finally fucking wore me out with that. Listen, these fights are amazing. And by the way, what I was saying before I started singing Khalil Roundtree, he's a very chill dude, man.
I love him.
Yeah, but I mean, you missed him. He was on last
week. I know,
week.
I was sick.
And he's moving to Thailand. Spent 4 months in Thailand, loved it.
Jimmy, he was like a really, like as a kid, he was saying he was a real fat kid. He was real heavy and overweight.
Is he?
So, I mean, now he looks like a fucking superhero.
Yeah, he does.
You know? All the girls back, he was telling, he was talking to girls back in high school, and they were like, oh, he used to have a crush on you. He's like, no, you did not. He's funny. I like him.
What about, what's his record and what's Eric Anders' record?
Here, let's pull it.
Anders lost to, didn't he lose to Thiago Santos?
Anders on a couple of fights in a row, but one of them was against Thiago Santos on like 3 days' notice, basically. And then he came back against Elias Theodoro, and he lost that fight.
That's right. Yeah, and Santos is fighting John Jones July 6th. Is it July 6th?
Yeah, that's International Fight Week. Yes, ooh, that's the July 4th weekend.
Fuck. JDS against, they're saying it might be JDS against Francis Ngannou.
Yeah, not official, but shit, that's a great fight. And that makes sense if that's what
really makes
gets
sense.
Put together.
Man, oh man, oh man.
Khalil is 7-3 with one no contest. He lost the fight, but then it was overturned because Michael Oleksichuk tested positive for something. And
Khalil's
contest.
One of those guys. Correct. After having him on the show, like I like him a lot more. I didn't not like him, but now I really like
him. You feel
him.
More connected.
Oh
to him.
My goodness. Wasn't he great? Wasn't he great?
I loved that interview. It was really good. Yeah.
He was really good.
Why is he in Thailand? Sure. Is he does he just love the culture there, or
he's
is he training?
The dream, man.
Well, he wanted to learn the actual
clinch
Thai
work.
Clinch, you know, so he, that's where he went. And he
that's
loves it there.
Awesome.
So and Eric Anders is 11-3. And he's got he's lost three of his last four, actually. Which
yeah,
is
but
crazy.
When you look at those fights, one, he took it on 2 days. How many days notice? Something ridiculous.
I mean, literally 3 days.
And I think he had to fly to Brazil or some shit.
Yeah, but I think it was in Argentina, but yes.
Well, you know.
Oh, no, Brazil, you're right. Brazil.
Well, I was right. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm being a brat.
No, no, you got it.
But, and then the other one, you know, he fought my, who did he lose?
Elias. Yeah.
Elias, yeah. And Elias, Theodoro, he has a way of winning. I know that sounds silly, but he has an unorthodox style, and I'm going to say it's unorthodox because it is. It's hard to, he has a good way of closing the distance. He mixes up his strikes with his clinch work, and he doesn't take a lot of damage.
No.
He's got a very good measure of distance. You know, he closes it very well. He uses his legs very well. I like the way he moves around the cage. He's a hard guy to train for, so he gets a lot of decisions that way.
Yeah,
what's his record, by the way?
We could pull it. I was going to say, by the way, Eric Anders' only other loss, a split decision loss to Machida, who it's like,
you know
how that could go. And I actually, now that I'm thinking back, I thought he won that fight.
That was a close
too.
One. Now, Eric, Brazil, but first of all, this fight is going to be sick because they're both gamers, man.
By the way, there's some good fights on the prelims, too. Curtis Blander against Bilal Muhammad. Really good fight. Welterweight. And Andre Sukumtot against Montel Jackson. Bantamweight.
Really fun fight.
Did I say his last name right? Sukumtot?
You got it, yeah. Eliza 16-2. He's won 3 in a row now.
Oh, the return of... I'm sorry about that. I don't want to give that guy less smoke. What did you say about that guy?
Who, oh, I was just saying Elias about? Is 16-2.
Oh, Elias, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Elias is a fucking stud, man.
Yeah, man.
The return of Alan Joban. Where's he been? Where the fuck's he been?
I don't know. Let's see what his last
I thought he had an injury, but I could be completely stupid and wrong.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Doing a podcast with Karen Bryant. She's nice, Karen Bryant.
Yeah, his last fight was February of last year.
Oh, that's
he knocked out Ben Saunders, actually.
Oh, fuck yeah, he did. That's my buddy, Killer B.
So I don't know if he had any injury or anything like that, but...
He's fighting Dwight Clark on the main card.
Dwight Grant, yeah.
I'm sorry, Dwight Clark. And the opening fight is OSP against Nikita Krylov. And I love OSP.
You love OSP.
No, this is a great card, from top to bottom. I'm excited Boston Salmon is fighting on this
And that's card. His legit name?
Yeah.
Not a nickname?
What no, that's his real name. And he was on the Contender Series. He looked great there, and he's now getting a shot in the UFC, so...
Hey, and not for nothing here. I gotta stop saying not for nothing. Does that make sense?
Sure does.
Yeah. Okay, not for nothing.
Yes, whenever I ask a girl, you want to have sex.
I'm excited, very excited for this fight. Jimmy Rivera versus Peter Yan.
Pietra.
Great. Yeah. Pietra.
Yeah.
Pietra. Pietra?
Yeah.
Yeah. But Pietra?
That's an awesome fight. Pietra. Yeah, it's
Pietra
like-
Yan. Yan?
Correct.
Yep.
Dude, that's a great fight. I like me some Jimmy Rivera. I really didn't like when Aljo had to fight him. I mean, I loved how Aljo did. Yeah. Obviously, I love Aljo. But, you know, Jimmy, I like very much. And thanks. Seeing him all week long, he's just always, he's, I'll tell you, it was funny. I told you this before, but he's smiling all week long. And I told Aljo, I go, look, man. Because Aljo's like, yo, man, he's making it hard because he's a likable dude. You know, I'm going to. He's trying to get in the zone. I go, trust me, man. He's not going to be smiling at you in the cage. When he came in that fucking cage and he's throwing his arms around when he's running around the cage, he looked like a little fucking pit bull. Yep. Oh, yeah. He wasn't smiling anymore. It was great. Good fight, though.
So, yeah, that's UFC 238. That's Cejudo versus Moraes is the main event of that card, June 8th. But that's Rivera and Pietro Jan, who, by the way, if you didn't see Jan's last fight against, John Dotson. Woof, what a performance that was by Jan. That was like a real... You know, he showed another level. So
what are you, a fucking dog? What do you say, woof? Hey, if you didn't say that fight, hey, Jimmy, if you didn't see that fight, woof, woof, what the fuck's he talking about?
Why are you
fucking woofing?
You
bark, I didn't bark in ages. I sing right, now. Get right. with it, man.
That's right.
I didn't bark in a minute. Jimmy.
You go ahead, bark.
Jimmy, not a minute, I said. I sound young.
He's younger.
I sound younger.
It's relevant.
Yeah, first of all, I didn't bark in a minute.
No, it would have been fire if you did.
What?
You're woke. Young people shit.
Oh, that, shit, man. I'm sorry, man. I'm trying to get with it, man. I'm untuck it.
What?
Sorry, Jimmy. Hey, this fight's in a week. But also, Jimmy, can we just talk about Cowboy Oliveira versus Mike Perry? Did we talk about that yet?
Not yet.
Fuck.
Depends That's on where exciting. That fight winds up. I mean, if Mike... gets a hold of him and it can land, but I'm telling you, that's a very dangerous fight for Mike, I think. Just
I like
Cowboy's
both guys.
So good on the ground.
I agree. It's gonna. I mean, that is a wild fight, but yes, I think any time it goes to the ground, it's gonna be a problem for Mike Perry for sure.
Yeah.
Well, Mike. Yeah. I mean, let's see.
I mean, we don't know. We haven't seen him a little bit. You know.
Yeah. Or as the kids say, we haven't seen him in a
minute.
In a minute, sure.
Right, Jimmy?
Yeah.
You say that cool, Jimmy?
I haven't seen him in a or I say it in a minute.
Well, Jimmy. I think I gotta go take the train in a minute.
Okay.
No, wait, that's a long time. In an actual minute.
Yeah, I know.
In a New York minute? Ah. for the record, I knew that wasn't gonna hit, but I just wanted to say it.
Well, all right. Listen, guys, I had so much fun. Yeah. What else do we have to say?
Thank you to Lou DiBella. A really fun talking to Lou. And also, of course, always good to have Max Holloway. We appreciate him giving us a few minutes.
Yeah, he's the best, Max.
He really is.
Max is, man, I like Max a lot.
Yeah.
And I like Khalil Roundtree.
Yeah.
Not just because I like to say his name. I just like
a great name.
I got a great song to go with it.
Tell me. Not yet. No, not yet.
When? Say when, Jimmy.
Let me enjoy it after. Listen. Get tickets if you want to see me. In May in Rochester at Comedy on the Carlson.
Yeah.
My Stress Factory date has been moved to October because I may be filming something.
All right. Oh, mysterious.
Oh, what are you going to be filming, Jimmy? Tell us. Breaking news, everyone.
No, because I don't know if I'm going to be.
What?
No, I'm moving it in case I film something.
Oh, in case you film something.
I don't want to cancel last minute in case
in case you don't get the part?
Well, it's something I'm not sure if it's going to happen.
Let's not end the show like this.
Why?
Because it's fucking weird. It's
perfect.
Bye, Jimmy.
Okay, bye, Matt. All right, now remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, radio.com/UFC Unfiltered, or wherever you get your shows. Not my business.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.